At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of the Commonwealth Policy Center. Wondering how many of you have felt like telling your elected leaders what you really think? Maybe a better question is, do you want to be heard by your elected leaders? Well, today we're going to talk about effectively communicating with community leaders. And to talk with us more about this is Brandon Porter, Communications Director of the Kentucky Baptist Convention.
Yeah.
Brandon, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
I thought it would be good to go to somebody who has some background in professional media, and then also, of course, you were a news reporter for WBKO and Bowling Green for a while, and also pastored churches over the years.
Yeah.
So I couldn't think of a better guest to help us to think through this issue, especially in this day and age, Brandon, where it's very divisive, political tensions are high, and it seems like everybody has an opinion, doesn't it? They want to tell somebody something, but it's important for us to understand how to convey those opinions in the right way, in the right context, at the right time. And so I thought we'd hear more from you and your perspective.
Yeah.
So let's focus on first, so the political climate, I guess. It's as divisive as I've ever seen it. I don't know if there's been a more troubling political time that we're in. And that's part of the conversation, right? So with that in mind, there's a lot of hot button issues that as soon as you mention a phrase or a word, the walls could go up or the radar's going to go up anyway. So I guess, is that where we start, just understanding the cultural context that we're in?
Sure. I think that's a great place to start. You know, I think social media has definitely played a role in that. It gives folks a voice that perhaps have felt like they didn't have a voice before. And so that can be a very positive thing. But the other side of that is sometimes because of social media, I think we believe there is sort of this level of anonymity that's not really there. In fact, it's almost the opposite. And so if you and I get in a spat on social media, you know, if we got in an argument sitting here in this studio, it would just be the two of us. But if we get into a spat on social media between your friends and my friends, we don't know who's actually watching that, even though that they may never comment on it, or they may comment on it. It's just a very different dynamic, but somehow it does feel very anonymous, even though it's not.
That's right. Well, because you're behind, you're at your home office or somewhere private, behind a screen, and you have no, you're really not thinking how many people are watching that, or the fact that there could be screenshots of posts or conversations. Which, by the way, those things don't go away.
No.
That's out there forever. Once it's out there, it's out there for good. So we need to be mindful that there's this false sense of security that it's private when you're on social media, and it's really, it's truly, truly not.
The internet is forever. That's a good thing to remember. And if you don't want everyone to know it, then don't say it. That's a second good thing to remember.
That's good. Well, and I'll add too, just because it's on your mind to say something, imagine yourself saying it to a full room or to being on a stage and saying it, right?
So temper
those thoughts. That's which it seems like we're in a day. So politically, we're in this pressure cooker, if you will. And when you're in a pressure cooker, what's inside comes out eventually. But we want to be mindful that people are listening. That what we say might not go away if it's on social media. But this brings me to the idea of venting. It might feel good to vent, and I want to bring this to conversations with political leaders. It may feel good to get your thoughts out and to relieve some stress. But
yeah.
Non-starter, right, for a conversation with a political leader?
Right. No, I don't think so at all. That doesn't help them. You know, you have to remember that that they deal with hundreds of people, maybe thousands of people, and more as we kind of expand our circles there of the influence that they have. And so, you know, you will just be blocked out if your approach to them is to vent, because they're people too, and they just can't handle if hundreds of people and all that they want to do is vent. You know, imagine for us if 5 people, if 10 people vent to us during a day, that there comes a point to where we just can't take it anymore.
Right.
It's just exponentially greater for those political leaders.
That's right. So political leaders, keep in mind, if you haven't thought about it, political leaders are people too,
right.
And they have limits.
Yeah.
And venting to them or anybody is not the appropriate way to go about it. So I think there's some intimidation involved or when somebody wants to share a legitimate concern mm-hmm. with an elected official, whether it's a city councilman or your state representative, there might be some fear. How do I approach this person?
Yeah.
How do I have a conversation? Should they be fearful of talking to a city councilman or a mayor?
I don't think you should be fearful. I think maybe you should be respectful. Is a better word there. But you know, I mean, those folks, that they are our representatives, and so they should understand when they began their campaign and ran for office that they were going not just as a representative of themselves or their family, but as a representative for all of the people who live in their district. And so I think we don't need to have fear in approaching them, but I do think we need to have respect in the way that we approach them.
That's good. And I think if you realize that these people, by and large, who ran for office, they are there to serve. Mm-hmm. They do want to know what their constituents are saying. And most of them are very approachable.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think just from watching much of this year's General Assembly session, I was impressed this year, and it's probably true with every year, but it just caught my ear more this year, of hearing the folks as they spoke, that they talked about the people that they represented back at home, that this wasn't just their voice being heard. And I think maybe because of the pandemic that was more, there was more weight on them because, you know, they were bringing different parts of Kentucky into those rooms, into the chamber of the House and the chamber of the Senate, and that they wanted to make sure that the folks in their local community had a voice as decisions were being made.
That's good. I want to go back to context. So let's say you have an issue of concern that's come up in your community. You used to live in Glasgow. Let's say there was a issue in Glasgow that you had some concern as a resident there. How do you how would you go about contacting a city issue, let's say? Of course, at the city level, you have a city council, you have a mayor.
Mm-hmm.
If you were a concerned citizen, maybe there's too much noise in your neighborhood or loud trucks going by and you wanted to see what the mayor and city council could do about that, what would you do?
I think a great word to keep in mind there is personally.
Yeah.
So catching them outside of Walmart or catching them outside of Dollar General, or if I see them pumping gas, that's not necessarily the place to catch them and corner them in this issue. If I were to see them, I might plant the seed and say, oh, hey, I'd been wanting to talk to you. Can we set up a time to get together? Or how can I share this? So, just beginning to plant the seed if you happen to see them out in the community. But I think personally, in the sense that all of these folks are connected to city government, county government, state government, federal government. They all have web pages. They all have email addresses. They all have phone numbers. And so, you know, the first route would be to try to contact them there through what they have given publicly. Here's the way to contact your mayor. Here's the way to contact your judge executive. On and on it goes. A lot of them, probably most of them, have a Facebook page. where they personally, it's either their campaign page, or if they've won the office, they are now moving forward and they want to report back with, here's what's going on. That Facebook page or an Instagram page may offer some more information, or Instagram account, I mean, may offer more information on how you can connect with them. And so I'm trying to connect with them as personally as I can. That's my first attempt, rather than doing something out in public and which could be perceived as trying to embarrass them or call them out. I'm trying to use what they've, the methods that they've given me, the citizen, to communicate with them. I'm trying to respect that. And I'm trying to, you know, it may be a text message, it may be a phone call, it may be a face-to-face meeting, it may be exchanging emails. I'm trying to find a way to connect with them personally.
You know, Brandon, that's good advice, to not catch them off guard if you see them out and about in their community, because they've had a busy day, probably a full schedule, and they're worn out and probably not ready for a big issue being foisted on them while they're pumping gas or doing some grocery shopping.
You know, I think that connects with something that you said earlier, which we say, but maybe we don't make a big enough deal about, is that they are people too. Many of them have a spouse at home. Many of them have children who are playing in a little league game, and they're trying to get there, you know, that they have some other obligation that's happening right now. And if you take 45 minutes when they were just trying to hustle through this stop to get to the next appointed location, the reality is if you do that, you're not treating them like a person. You're treating them like a commodity. You're treating them like an object that you use for your benefit, rather than seeing them as a fellow image bearer created in the image of God, who have, you know, a right to be respected and shown dignity. They have the right to have a schedule too, you know, that they're moving forward with.
They do, and I'm glad you bring that up. They're, you know, equal in standing before God. They're made in the image. I think there's a lot of animosity, if you will, towards our elected leaders today. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of anger, especially those at the federal level, more high-profile politicians. But need to realize that we don't understand what they've gone through, the challenges that they're facing. Mm-hmm. And if we had a little more empathy towards what their day looked like, the challenges, the issues that they're dealing with, I think we'd approach them a little differently, don't you?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So context. We're talking context. When you start the conversation, start in the appropriate at the appropriate place, which is not in a public place, but contact them through their official channels to see if you can set up a meeting. But at the same time, if you do see them in public, it's appropriate to say, "Hey, Mr. Mayor, thank you for serving."
Absolutely.
Something like that, right?
Absolutely.
Applaud them for their service.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, or even, you know, if you can affirm something they've done, you know, on that local level, thank you for putting that new layer of asphalt out on the main drag, you know, or in my neighborhood, or, you know, for building up the playground down the street. I know that's important to lots of families in our community. Yeah, absolutely. I think that's important to note too. There are always places where we can affirm,
you know, and there's no downside to that, right?
No, not at all. That's
People need to be affirmed.
Yeah.
And especially our political leaders, those who I believe most have gotten in with the right intentions. They want to serve, and it is a tough job. Mm-hmm. A political leader isn't there just to tell people what to do, contrary to what some people might believe, but they are there to serve and to make a better community.
Absolutely.
And a better Commonwealth if they're serving at the state level. If you're just joining us, I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of CPC, here with Brandon Porter, Communications Director for the Kentucky Baptist Convention. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC4Kentucky.
Welcome back to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of CPC, here with Brandon Porter, and we are talking about effectively communicating with your leaders. And Brandon, We are hosting a conference coming up soon, Christianity and Culture Conference. We're going to talk about how Christians can engage the culture in an effective way, and you're going to be presenting on this topic of effectively communicating with our leaders. And you and I have had a couple of conversations about this, and we agreed that this would be a really timely topic for us. So give us a couple of, if you could, some teasers of what you, I know we probably touched on some of it. But.
We have. And so I think that, that's really important. In the first segment, we talked about not treating our political leaders like commodities, but treating them like people. I think that's very important. We tend to think of our political leaders like we would a company that's devoid of humanity. That's not true. You know, these are people. There are lots of layers. You know, the higher you go in office, as far as the from local to the federal level, there's lots of bureaucracy and lots of red tape, but there's still people at every level that they are people. And so I want us to think about that and to keep that in mind, and the way that we think of them, of the way that we pray for them, in the way that we approach them, and communicate with them, as leaders. I think, you know, another thing that we have to think about is the way that Christians are called to communicate with leaders. I do think because of the responsibility that we have, and the way that Christ has called us to live as his disciples, I think that our communication should be different. It should look unique to the communication they receive from people who are not followers of Jesus.
Well, let's talk about that, because it's going back to what we started out talking about. It's easy to vent. There's frustration, and people feel like they need to get a load off and unload on a political leader. But how should a Christian communicating with a leader, how should that look? And I guess maybe just general communication principles.
Right? Yeah. Well, yes. And beyond that, you know, I think we have to bring a humility, a kindness to the conversation. You know, we see Jesus interact with Pharisees. We see him interact with officials in the Roman government from time to time. We never see him vent to them. We never even see them necessarily. He calls them out, specifically the Jewish leaders, but he doesn't vent about them. He calls them out, but he doesn't then go off and mumble under his breath to the disciples, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we see some pictures there of how to address those concerns. But I think, you know, I mean, we always want to be salt. We always want to be light, bringing light into the darkness. And our tone and our approach can just ruin that. You know, if we start the conversation in the wrong way, they're not going to hear anything else that we have to say, and they won't want to hear anything else we have to say.
So maybe pray before you're about to approach somebody, right? Especially if it's a tough issue.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm reminded of there's a lot of passages that speak of how we ought to communicate. One is in Colossians 4:6. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone.
Absolutely.
So grace, no downside to grace.
Yeah, very similar in Ephesians 4. Paul talks about full of grace. He talks about what builds up and what does not tear down. And so, you know, I think I always think about those chapters in Ephesians and Colossians. They're sort of cousins, because they run the put-ons and put-offs of Ephesians chapter 3, or Colossians 3, and then the Ephesians 4 of the way that we are to walk as Christians. And so, you know, is this edifying? Is this not only to the person, but to the glory of Christ? Is what I'm going to say and the way I'm going to say it, is it honoring to Jesus?
Amen. That's good. So that just brings me back to what we talked about a few minutes ago about being on a larger stage. If you're on social media, a lot of people watching,
absolutely,
right? Possibly watching, and that stuff doesn't go away.
Yeah.
But you want to talk about a really big stage? I mean, the Creator's watching.
Yeah,
absolutely. And he's present. If you're a believer, he's there.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing is hidden from him. But I think from that perspective, as somebody who says they're walking with Jesus, to be reminded that He is there.
Yeah.
And there's also, we do have supports, not just through the Word, but the Holy Spirit guides us too.
Yeah.
Can temper us in our emotions. We might be angry or upset, but the Holy Spirit can temper that.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a grandfather, Bill Porter is his name, and he's been gone for about 5 years now. He was actually the man that the Lord used to lead me to Christ. In his retirement years, he drove a school bus, and our family is originally from Georgia. Mm-hmm. He took a group of school kids to the Jimmy Carter Center in Atlanta one time. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Carter was there. He was there. And so he's out, he's meeting the children and, you know, encouraging them. And my grandfather says to him, you know, Mr. Carter, it's an honor to meet you. And here are the things that I'm grateful for and I agree with, but here are the things. And he said, I told him I didn't vote for him. And I told him because I don't agree on these issues. That has stuck with me. That's probably 25 years ago that happened or more. And that has stuck with me in the way that he handled that conversation, that he was respectful and gracious. He was affirming. But then he also communicated, these are values that I hold, and I just couldn't follow the platform, you know, of your administration on these things. And that really has shaped the way that I think, the way I try to write, the way I try to approach leaders, whether it was on the very local level as a pastor, or, you know, now as we think more on the state or even the national level through the work that I have to do with Kentucky Today through the Kentucky Baptist Convention.
Yeah, well, that's good. So you had a significant example in your life at an early age of how to communicate respectfully to the highest leader in our country.
Absolutely.
At one point.
Absolutely.
Jimmy Carter.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Mm-hmm. And I think we would do well, too, so that leads me to this. If we are questioning how to communicate well, look at how other people do it, right? I think there's some Kentucky Today, I think, and the Kentucky Baptist Convention has found a way to communicate effectively and respectively.
Which we try. Thank you.
yeah, that was a little plug for you.
I appreciate
we can talk
that.
Later about the endorsement deal afterwards, right? No, but so in contrast with other outlets, there's don't use the same tone or the same language. Sometimes you see hit pieces, right, on politicians.
Absolutely.
I'm not seeing that from your publications.
And it's not because there's not pressure to run those, just to be honest. We just choose to go a different direction. And so I think that we can look out and we have to discern whether it comes from news organizations or other ministries, organizations like CPC, who are out there, the approach, the tone, you know, what are they saying and how are they saying it? And most of the time, organizations are consistent. Everybody can make mistakes. Everybody can be really frustrated or just have a bad day. But we watch these long-term patterns of communication. And I think we are able to learn how to communicate not only in a way that is hopefully effective with the political leader, but again, is honoring to God. That's the most important thing. It's honoring to the Lord in as our ultimate goal.
That's good. Brandon, we've got just a couple minutes till we need to wind down. I want to pivot over to building relationships with your leaders. We're talking about communicating, which is the way you build relationships, but how can a person in their community build a relationship with a city council person or with the mayor? Do you have any pointers as to how to... And the reason I'm asking this is because as a relationship builds, you have more input as to how they govern, or at least you have some... you're sharing with them, it could influence them in some way or another.
Yeah, I think you don't just show up when the one specific hot button issue is there on the table. That you build a presence, you build a relationship with them. Even if, you know, again, I think we can't devalue affirmation. And so we think, you know, no news is good news. Well, that's really hard, you know, as a father, and we're both fathers. You know that if the children aren't saying anything, it doesn't necessarily mean that they agree.
That's right.
Exactly right. We hope they do, and we're going to continue to move forward as if they do.
Yeah.
But there may be some notes being written in the back seat that we just can't see.
But it takes that relationship and that trust in order for that political leader to open up to
that's
you.
Right. Exactly. Right? That's right. And right. So that's where that the presence you're there. If you're you can always affirm. If things are going well, you're affirming. Thank you for this thing. Thank you for that thing. Mm-hmm. That's going to give you the opportunity, and it's going to give your voice some weight when you have to step in and say, but I can't go with you here.
That's good. And I think if you do it in the right tone and in respectful ways, we've been talking about, that goes a really long way.
Absolutely.
Doesn't it? Yeah. Brandon, we've got just about a minute, a little over a minute here. Mm-hmm. I want us to pivot over to pastors. What kind of influence can pastors have on their community as far as developing relationships with their elected leaders?
A lot more than they realize.
Tell us more. You got 45 seconds. So.
I think, political leaders are leaders. They realize that pastors are leaders, that when a pastor shows up, most likely he's not speaking just for himself. He's speaking for those people that he is pastoring. And so those are people that they want to hear from the community, and the pastor can be the voice for many. And so I think political leaders on all levels are wise to listen to pastors, and I think pastors are wise to realize their voice really matters.
That's a good word, and I would encourage pastors who are tuning in right now and listening to pray for their community, mm-hmm. pray for their leaders, mm-hmm. and then be willing to get involved with the conversations. Political leaders do want to hear from pastors.
Absolutely.
Communities do need to know that churches and pastors care for their community, and especially at a time when there's so many challenging questions, people are looking for answers.
Absolutely.
The community members are looking for, how do I think about this issue or that issue? And we've got a lot of opportunities before us, don't we?
And they're looking for leadership. Whether we act like it or not, we've got to have leadership if we're going to push through whatever's ahead of us.
That's good. Well, on that note, Brandon, we're going to have to close. Thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
God bless.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that we're living in confusing and challenging times where law and culture are increasingly hostile to Christian values. So how do you maintain your faith and convictions? That's a question that we're helping to answer at our Christianity and Culture conferences. The goal is to help believers understand the culture and how to respond in an effective and winsome way. And we'd love for you to join us. The first event will be on April the 29th in Lexington. For more information about the conference, go to our website at commonwealthpolicycenter.org. And we look forward to seeing you there.